good evening. Thank you very much. This is Rob Robinson. I chair the Pacific and National Board's Programming Committee. This is August 29th, and our committee is meeting tonight. I would like to begin by calling the roll. Bonnie Simmons from KPFA.
Here.
Diane Enriquez from KPFA. Soraya Ciotti from KPFA. Is Soraya there? Margaret Prescott from KPFK. Sherna Gluck from KPFK.
Here.
Ian Johnston from KPFK.
Present.
Lisa Davis from WBAI.
Present.
Kathy Davis from WBAI.
Here.
Jennifer Jaeger from WBAI. George Ryder from KPFD.
Here.
Stacey Davis from KPFT. Stacey Davis from KPFT. Wesley Bethune from KPFT. Wesley, are you there? Rob Robinson from WPFW is present. Michelle Smith from WPFW. Michelle? Dan Logan. Dan Logan from WPFW.
I've been here.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think 8 people. I'm not sure. Is Wesley back on the call? Wesley?
Nathan just came on.
Oh, Nathan, thank you very much. Well, we have 8 members of the committee, so we have a quorum. I don't know if... Hello?
Rob, sorry, I think a quorum is 9. Committee is 16, including the affiliate.
No, it's... yes, it is 15, so it should be 9. I'm sorry, you're right, you're correct. So, if we don't have Wesley, we're still 1 short of a quorum. Since the agenda of tonight's meeting is to discuss a series of resolutions relative to programming that implement the programming policy, which was passed 2 years ago, I would like to suggest that the body consider moving to committee of the whole session so that we don't need, a quorum to conduct business, with the understanding that what we will be doing is discussing the items before us, and after soliciting more input from the members, voting for them at a subsequent meeting within the next week or 10 days.
I second that.
Is there any objection to that proposal? Hearing no objection, we'll move directly to the committee of the whole session for the programming committee. Has everyone seen the resolutions and the rationale that I sent to the body?
I have.
I'm looking at it now. I have not seen it prior to this meeting. I've not had the chance to review it, I should say.
But you've received them.
Yeah. I did receive them, but I'm just now able to look at them.
The reason for presenting these is, and I hope that I'm about to tell you is not news to anyone, but since 2004, the network and the 4 stations have been losing listeners.
A point of order, Mr. Yep. Chair. For some reason, your voice sounds very muddled suddenly.
Wesley.
I'm sorry, Wesley, you're there?
Yeah, I was, when the roll was being called, I was answering, but I wasn't heard. Can you hear me now?
Must have been on, yeah.
Yes, we can hear you now. We asked everyone to mute themselves and because there was some interference, and then we unmuted. So we thank you for being patient.
Certainly.
Okay, so what we would like to consider are some resolutions what the foundation is facing, everyone has heard that we're having financial problems. What's not being discussed is the fact that since 2004, all of our stations have been losing listeners. As a result of this, they've been struggling to meet their pledge goals, and as a result of this, we've been experiencing financial constraints. There are a number of issues that relate to programming that are involved in the programming policy, but the principal thing that moves me to make these recommendations is the fact that all of our stations, all of our local stations, are having trouble capturing listeners, largely because the programming schedules that we're offering, you know, is not attracting people. Our audience is aging, and in many cases, the program schedules that we've had on the air have been on the air for over a decade. So what I've done is to put together several resolutions which implement matters that are contained in the programming policy in the hopes that we can begin to work with management. We're not trying to dictate to management, but we're trying to work with management in hopes that there can be some accountability for the programming that we have, which is the basis for our being able to be self-sustainable, which is one of the principal tenets of our mission. So, without going through this anymore, I'd like to identify the specific points in the resolutions, and then we can discuss them point by point.
Rob, information.
Yes, Bonnie.
Weren't we supposed to discuss at this programming meeting the motion put forward to the PNB by Grace about increasing listenership by 7% every 3 months at each of the stations?
Yeah, that was supposed to be referred to us. That has not been sent to me yet. I'd be happy to send it to the committee and we can discuss it. But it was not referred formally to the committee by the secretary or anyone else.
This is Grace. I'll send it to you, and you can send it on. And can you send me your motion? I'm not on the committee, so I don't think you sent it to me. If you could,
I'd be happy to send that to you, Grace. And we can even discuss with the committee what your motion is.
Okay, I'll send it out to you.
But
Rob.
Yes.
Can I make a comment? It's Sherna.
Okay, yeah. I beg your pardon, but I'm not at home. I'm on a cell phone, and that's the reason that it's so hard to hear. I apologize. Sherna, go ahead, please.
I think that although I don't know what Grace's motion is, I think that it seems to me that it basically is asking stations to set a goal, whereas what you're introducing is some specific ways of trying to increase
Right. Leadership.
So maybe it could be part of a preparatory statement if we agree on that goal or whatever goal to increase membership, and that the following are recommendations for how to achieve that.
Sure.
The other point I wanted to make is similarly, I think I would like to see a prefatory statement worked out, and maybe I can work on it, some other people can, a really short statement about the need to assure that there is a functioning CAB and that there is a collaborative relationship has been established between management and the programming bodies of the LSP.
I think that would be great, Sherna. Does anyone have any comments on Sherna's suggestion?
This is George.
Yes, George.
Sherna, you're aware of the motion, I suppose, that was passed at the last PNB meeting, basically requiring that the board's do, in fact, have active cabs. Am I right about that, or am I wrong about that?
The
motion did pass, George, yes.
Yeah.
But as a preface to this, I mean, the way for any of this to happen is to assure that and to assure a collaborative relationship between management and the programming bodies of the LSB. So I was combining those two things as a preparatory statement, and perhaps the issue of goals could also be included in a preparatory statement.
Mr. Chair, may I get on the stack?
Is that Lisa?
She's I.
Okay, sure, Lisa, yes.
One other thing that I just want to say, and I'm certainly not saying this in like juxtaposition to your to some of the proposals that we're going to be looking at, and I had a brief conversation with D-Rob about this, but I just want to say, whenever we talk about programming or decline in, well, actually in membership, really, because listenership might be measured a little differently. At least I'm assuming that's what people are primarily looking at. But I think it's important that we always have to have a conversation about what is currently going on economically, because that will definitely reflect some of these are very, very hard times that we are living in. So I just think that whenever we talk about the issue of membership or / listenership, not necessarily the same thing, but we should definitely, we have to bring that into consideration and how things are being impacted, because we all know that there are crises cropping up everywhere throughout this country, financial ones. But I don't say that to say that we should not be looking at issues involving programming. I just want, you know, when we do this analysis, for it to be as comprehensive as possible. And I would also like to throw into that when we are looking at programming and listenership and things like that, trying to make some determination, that to the extent, I don't know if all stations have this. I know WBAI is fortunate enough to have where we can look at the statistics with what's going on with the archive, because that shows something different from what's going on with membership. And in terms of the requests for various programs that hit to the online archive, and some of the other stations, I don't know if they have that either, but I think that's also just important to add to the conversation. Because I know that, I don't know exactly what WBAI's membership is right now, but I know that it's, you know, I think last year was hovering about, please don't anybody quote me, about 15,000 or something like that. But I just know from looking at the online archive in terms of the individual or the unique visits to the archive page, that's averaging, from what I can just tell, brief glance, to about 40,000 monthly or something like that. So I just say all of this to just add, we can have a, we'll just make our conversation about programming and what is and going on more comprehensive, and we should look at these factors as well.
I don't think that the, yeah, thank you, Lisa, I understand what you're saying. I don't think that the proposal that was made about audience by Grace Aaron, or that Scherner's suggestions that we have a preparatory statement that touches on the community advisory boards, which many of us are aware of from the old ascertainment and CPB funding guidelines days, are ruled out by anything that's here. But let me just read through the resolutions fairly quickly so that you know what they are. The first one says that local stations should have quantifiable program goals as part of an overall national strategy for growth designed specifically to A, reach listeners who are not currently listening, B, convert more listeners to members, and C, reach out to non-renewing and inactive members. Management should propose goals for growth in these areas to the PNB. Targets for increasing listenership and membership should be supported by research into non-listener, listener, and member cohorts. I think that's fairly simple. It basically says that there needs to be a growth strategy that the PNB supports that is based on proposals from the local stations to do those three things.
Rob? Oh,
yes?
It's possible, I just took a quick glance at what Gray sent, but it's possible to incorporate that 7% into that very first resolution here, recommendation.
Yeah, it is, although the controversy about that arose from the issue of how did the 7% figure get reached. And I think the fact of the matter is that there should be a dialogue between stations and national management and management generally and the Pacifica board about what growth targets for listeners and members, because they're all different. The targets for membership versus the targets for percentage of listeners to members that we're creating should be supported by some kind of research that the stations have done with management into their own statistics that support what they can do. So I don't think that the language here is in conflict with the 7% figure. It simply talks about how those figures are to be derived.
George, Beck?
George, yes.
Kathy, for the stack, please.
George and then Kathy, yes. George, please.
Yeah, I mean, my sense is, and I basically I'm asking if this is what your intention is that we put together, and I like one and two. I think they're really essential to get out there, so that's where I'm coming from. My sense is that these should be resolutions to brought up for the PNB in September at the September meeting to ask that the local stations actually adopt, I mean, submit, and I think that's what your clear intention is, submit quantifiable program goals to the PNB with objective measures about how you're going to fulfill them, how you're going to review programs, and I think we should require that by a particular time. I would guess the January PNB, or if there's another in-person PNB meeting in December, that we ask them to send it back at that time. And I agree. I mean, I think it was Grace's sense, too, that we needed to get this thing moving. But it is really the stations that need to come up with goals. I mean, they know what's realistic. They know sort of where their issues are. And certainly I like the idea of including the cabs in that discussion, since hopefully they're somewhat in contact with the listenership. So is that your sense of the time, of the sort of the time sequence for these things?
Yeah, George, the purpose of this is not to tell the local stations or management how to go about doing this, but simply to indicate what they have to do. But yes, my sense is that this is something that they could be doing immediately. They could have begun doing this, you know, weeks ago or months ago. So, yeah, I don't think that by January is too long a time. So what I would ask you to do is please indicate to me what you would like to add, what language you would like to add to this to make it more specific and more relevant in the context of helping the network, you know, increase, strengthen its financial position, and get that to me as soon as possible. And then the idea is that we can discuss these issues tonight and within the next week or 10 days have another meeting at which we've presented all of the options that people have suggested so that we can finally vote on something to submit to the PNB. Is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
Pardon me?
I said sounds good to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that your recommendations are fine, George.
I have a quick question.
Wait a minute. I think that Kathy Davis was next.
I'm sorry.
Kathy?
Yes. I think that I was just looking at the first resolution as we started, and I think it's a good one, but I feel that in order to get to that point, we have to ask the local management of the stations to first assess what their listenership is. And in a way, Lisa made a good point about the website, because if we know we have a certain amount of listenership and we can see what the ratio of that is based on the CUNES, comparing that to our membership, and if we can establish we have a certain number of listeners that are primarily internet listeners, and if we could figure out what those numbers are, that will give us the basis for determining what the growth might be and how we might approach the growth.
Yeah.
So I would think that as a part of this, we would have to ask the managers to tell us what the situation is at present.
Yeah. for those people that are not familiar with the technology, the internet permits us to identify how many people tune into the internet periodically. So for all of the stations that are streaming an archive stream of their existing show, they can track how many people are tuning into the internet. And that measure is not absolute, but it suggests the extent to which listeners are tuning in to programs that are on the air, and the proportion in which they're tuning in to those programs on the air, as opposed to the on-air FM signal. But it is FM listenership, so the one-to-one between the FM signal and the internet audience is not the same, but it's an indication of the activity. So, Kathy, what I would say is if you can, within, 24 or 48 hours, get me a one-sentence piece that we can put into this that reflects that, that would enable us to, to put that additional dimension into this resolution. Could you do that?
I will, but I'm also not just the internet, but I know that with the new system, tracking system,
the portable
that has
people
been
meters
implemented over the air, you can track the listenership much more closely in terms of when people are listening, how long they're listening, and when they're tuning out. So I think that the records are much more specific now.
But the portable people meters by Arbitron are. But I don't think that those are in effect in any of our signal areas yet.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're in a KPFT.
I think they are.
I think they're only at KPFT.
Oh, and BAI, I think, might have it.
They're at KPFK. Well, we have it at KPFK.
What are you asking there? I'm sorry.
The question is whether or not the portable people meter Arbitron readings are becoming available.
Oh,
and
sure.
In which signal areas, how soon, Nathan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, T has had them for a while. K, Joe's now. BAI and KPFA we're going to roll out in the fall. WPFW is, I think, the only station that doesn't have it actually attached to their transmitter yet.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay, so we can take a look at that as well. Could we move on to the second resolution?
Rob, can I ask a question
Sterna?
On this issue? How many stations are able to track their audio archive listenership? We are at K. How many others? And Lisa, you said BAI.
Right, relatively, yeah. Like I said, it's not an absolute science, but we can measure it somewhat.
What other stations?
KPFT, WBAI, and KPFK are all running the same software that Otis wrote. So they should all have similar tracking capabilities. KPFA is using some local stuff, but they can definitely track it. PFW's archives are a fairly new phenomenon, and while they're available, they're a little bit wonky. There probably are some stats that are available, but it's pretty new, and I don't know about their reporting yet.
Okay, so we should move in that direction, but the concept in this resolution is simply that we have to establish goals, that we want to ask that goals be established at the local station level as well as part of a national policy, both for listenership, for membership, and also for going back and recapturing inactive and non-renewing members. We'll use as much technology as we can to capture that. But the point is that we begin setting goals immediately, because as soon as a goal is set, a strategy can be put in place to capture those things, which is what we don't have right now.
This is Nathan. I have a quick question.
Nathan, go ahead, please.
I don't know a whole lot about the resolution that Sherna referenced earlier about the 7% growth per quarter. I kind of heard about it secondhand, but I wasn't on the board meetings where it was discussed.
A year.
This is Grace Aaron. I sent out that resolution to a few of you. I'll see if I can send it out if I have the rest of your list.
Okay.
I don't have it either.
Nathan, are you on the computer?
Yeah, I'm on my computer.
Okay. Grace, do you have the list, or do you want me to send it to the committee?
Sherna, can you send it on to everybody? I don't have the list.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe just send it to the PNB programming committee thing if everybody's on that.
I'll send it. Just a minute.
Oh, send it on.
Thank you.
The only thing I would just note real briefly as far as 7% growth per quarter is that is a pretty incredible standard to try and meet. I'll say that simply because looking at the audience growth numbers for public radio on the whole, that includes all sort of non-commercial stations that Arbitron measured. The heyday of growth for those stations was really from 2000 to maybe 2003. And in those 3 years of, the fastest growth that public radio stations and community radio stations had, during those 3 years, the average annual growth rate was about 6%. So to say 7% per quarter, I just wanted to caution that seems awfully...
A clarification? I have it in front of me. It's 7% within the next fiscal...
It's every quarter.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Bob, I'd like to get on stack about that.
And I would like to get on the stack as well, Rob.
Okay, but what we're doing is we're trying in this resolution to establish the concept that there be goals for growth and that the goals for growth deal specifically with audience, with membership, and with recapturing members that have fallen away. We are not trying to implement a particular growth rate that's established by year or quarter or anything like that. We're simply trying to put in place the concept that the stations will do that, and we're suggesting that the stations themselves should be doing some research into those cohorts before proposing a figure. So we are not locking anything in right now. What we're saying is that there should be a policy for growth, there should be plans for growth, and that we in governance should be working with management to arrive at an agreement on how that's going to occur and at what rate. But then I'll go now to Bonnie and...
I'm sorry. I suggest...
Okay.
If we're not going to have a 10-hour call, I suggest that we move on to the next recommendation so we could keep giving feedback, and you could revise, and then we can look at it again.
Okay, fine, but Bonnie already said she wanted to be on, and Bonnie and Lisa.
Okay.
So I'll ask them to speak briefly and make their point so we can move on. Bonnie and then Lisa?
I take your point, Rob, that we really can't go off in the direction of this, but I just wanted to point out that that motion that's written about 7% over 5 years, you would be asking your program directors, general managers, and executive director to raise expectations by 360% because it compounds.
Yeah, but actually that's, yes. But what we're looking at is something different. We're considering that proposal in the context of these resolutions, okay? Is that fair?
Yeah.
We're not asking you to commit to 7% a quarter, cumulative, okay? That's not what we're asking you to do.
That's good, Rob.
Good, thank you. Lisa, do you want to say something real quickly so we can move on?
You know what, I just wanted to also say this, and again, this is not coming out in a negative way, but sometimes we can say that this is that you should do this because it doesn't mean that the program directors and the station managers are not trying to grow the numbers. So sometimes we can put it down that this is what it should be. But I think at some point we have to just be able to really assess and look at really how workable some things are. And, so I just want to throw that out there. So we can write it because so often we write these wonderful motions and all this and say, okay, we want this done, but we need to somehow look at in terms of what it's going to take to get some of this. That's all.
Yes. Okay, thanks. The second resolution reads, local stations must adopt objective measures to assess mission fulfillment, review program schedules, and evaluate individual programs. Programmer self-evaluation must occur. However, listener feedback, surveys, audience research, and listener evaluations that provide objective assessment of local programming and listeners' needs are essential. All local station engineers should provide monthly summaries that chart the trends in listener tune-ins to Internet streams. and then there are a couple of caveats that are here. One caveat basically says revenue-generating capacity is not the sole criterion for evaluating programs. Whether a show fulfills the Pacifica mission, its originality and creativity, its capacity to attract new listeners, and sound and production quality are equally important. The second caveat says that management should be invited to propose incentive programs or guidelines that help free up space on the program schedule and promote the development of compelling new programming. So is everyone clear about what that does and doesn't say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we have any discussion about that second resolution?
Rob, just a quick thing on caveat number
Nathan?
One, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir, Nathan.
Just the word equally important. You may want to find something else besides equally as also important, because filling the mission versus, you know, just, I don't know, creativity or something, you know, you have those might actually end up being weighted differently. Small point.
Uh-huh. Exactly. What did you want me to change, Nathan, so that I can make a mark?
Oh, important.
The word equally during caveat four.
Nathan,
you want to say they are important too?
I think. Just so there's not misunderstanding down the road.
Are also important.
Mm-hmm.
Are all important.
All important.
Oh, all. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Of equally.
That's great. I like that. Okay. Any other discussion, or are we done with that?
Well, I just want to say, because I'm looking at this right now, and I know we're just going to be going over this, and then we'll have more time later on to bring back, suggestions and things like that, correct?
A little bit, yeah.
Hi, Rob. I was muted. Sorry. I'd like to be on the staff.
Okay, sure, Kathy. Lisa, and then Bonnie. Lisa, what's your point?
No, I mean, I just wanted to add, I mean, we're going over this. This is kind of like the first time, because I know there's some things that I'm going to be, looking at, because I think a lot is said in this second one. And I just want to know that we're going over it now, but we will certainly have time later on to also to provide other kind of feedback, correct? I mean, because this isn't my first time really looking at it and going through it.
That's correct.
But,
you have time to provide input, but the more you can get your input in writing within the next day or two, so everyone can see it and we can reconfigure this document, the sooner, because we'd like to meet again within hopefully a week or 10 days to vote on this, and that way everyone will have had a chance to have input. So if you can get something to us quickly, then we can, we can make it part of this document. Kathy and then Bonnie.
I'm sorry, I wasn't finished. Do I have a little bit?
Oh, I beg your pardon, Lisa. What else? Please, I'll be brief.
Sure. I'll try to be brief, but this is just one of those examples, because I know I've seen in other documents, I think, in the programming policy that we passed, and even when we look in local, some of the local programming committees, that there's been a lot of, documents and everything talking about, listener feedback surveys, audience research, and things like that. And so this is just one of those kind of things where we continue to say it, but at some point we need to really have conversations about, okay, what is and is not happening in these areas to make sure that they're implemented or not. So sometimes there's a bit of redundancy, with all due respect. And then we just have the thing that all local station engineers should provide monthly summaries. Are they able to do that? I mean, there's no one engineer, correct? For that, I mean, there are various engineers, right? So how implementable is that? So that's just some of my concerns when I look at that right now. But you don't even have to answer that. I'm just throwing them out.
Okay. Then we'll go on and we'll go to Kathy
right,
and then
right.
Bonnie. Kathy Davis.
Rob,
yes,
can you hear
thank
me?
You.
This is George. Can I be on the stack?
You can, George. Yes.
Thank you.
I also wanted to, in this section, add in some fashion the importance of the development of. Hello.
No.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Yes.
Yeah, I can. There's some echo, but go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, sorry. No, I think it's also important to develop some kind of objective measure for radio skill and the development of specific skills, technical skills. And so I think the mission fulfillment is important, but also the craft of radio is important. So
okay,
I would like to add that in some fashion.
Okay. Bonnie?
Yeah, I agree with Kathy on that. And I don't know. I just find this stuff a little bit troubling because I know I sound like a broken record about this, but rather than just throwing this at the radio stations, I honestly think the only way that we're going to get anywhere here is to somehow engage people in conversation about it and be able to hear the programmers and management and department head feelings about all of this and have a little better understanding about what we deal with at the stations on a day-to-day level. As far as the wording of this, what are listener evaluations? I'm a little bit short on what that means.
I speak on the stack, Rob.
And I agree with
George is next on the stack.
That said that, to have something that just says that local station engineers provide monthly summaries, it's true. At some of the stations we're able to do that. It's sometimes not the engineer that has anything to do with that. At other stations, I don't believe that we are quite up to speed on those things. But my overriding concern is really that we not be throwing kind of lofty but impossible to deal with in a practical sense things at the stations, and that we try to find out more about their concerns and their problems and the way that they function.
Okay, I got that. George is next on the stack, and then
that was Ian.
Ian? Okay. Go ahead, George, please.
I see this as a mechanism for doing what Bonnie suggests, which is to say we're going to enter into a conversation by asking the stations to come back with, well, how do you propose to, in fact, measure your mission fulfillment or review your program schedules or evaluate individual programs? They'll come back with something about what they can do. I think that the stuff in bold, I gather, is the stuff that we're actually planning on somehow crafting into motions that we're going to forward to the stations.
That's exactly correct.
And the stuff that isn't is sort of explanatory material, and that seems fine to me also. So I think there is room for that kind of conversation. And as I get the whole sense of this, it's not to make these decisions for the stations. It's to sort of prompt the stations to get moving on focusing attention on this and figuring out how they can do it. I fully support that. We have some of this going already at KPFT. And frankly, having the PNB pass a resolution saying we really need you to tell us how you're going to be doing this would further the action here.
Mm-hmm. George, you're exactly reflecting the sense of this. Ian?
I just wanted to say if you look at the programming policy that's adopted, that, you know, policy-wise, we have tons of things they're already supposed to be doing that I frankly find, you know, failing in a lot of cases. But when it comes to, you know, whether we're going to create some new hurdle, you know, the fact is if these people are concerned about, you know, what they're doing and, you know, what the station in here, they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to, you know, evaluate why they're losing audience. And, you know, I'm sure that these people already think they know all the answers, but if they had all the answers, we wouldn't be losing audience. And, you know, I think, Frank, that the problem we really run into is that we're too cozy with, you know, people in power, and we're afraid to offend folks. And I see it happening on our competitors. I just was listening to Randy Rhodes the other day, and stuff that I heard reported on Democracy Now! About, you know, protesters being beat in the street were being poo-pooed by the host. And when, you know, as a listener, you know more than the host, it makes you not want to listen. It makes you want to listen to someone who has something that you don't know. And so, you know, you really do need to be doing these kind of evaluations. And, you know, audience of feedback, like, you know, in specific areas, not just, you know, who do you like, or, you know, what, you know, if they say they like someone, we got to know what they like about them. And, you know, try and figure that out, because right now it seems like we have, you know, shows that are willing to take a prevailing lie and, you know, just keep passing it along to an audience that's smarter than that.
Okay.
Rob, can you put me on the list, please?
Yeah, sure. And then I want to go to number three. Yes, please.
I'm next.
Sherna, you're up.
Okay. You know, I actually, Bonnie will be surprised. I agree with Bonnie, but I also think that George's comments, folded areas, are all that will be out there, is very helpful, because it does perhaps get too specific. But I also think that another way of approaching this is an opening statement, a larger opening statement than the one I mentioned before, reminding people that the PNB passed the National Programming Policy, but there has never been a real plan to implement, that this is now an effort. This set of recommendations is an effort to begin to implement that policy, and it probably would help to change the language so it doesn't say must on these. I mean, part of it is just, you know, the kind of knee-jerk reaction that people have when they see must. So I think there's some tinkering like that that could address the kind of concerns that Lisa and Bonnie have raised, and that kind of speak to George's point.
Okay.
So
okay.
I would make that recommendation as a way to make it more palatable.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly fine, and I'm not going to prolong the discussion. Let's go to item number three. And it says, local stations must allocate budgetary and staffing resources to improve the production of existing programs in order to reach larger, more diverse audiences and to develop new programming capable of reaching new listeners with new voices. Identifying programs with the capacity for growth should be a key objective of local station program evaluation. I just want to remind everybody that we only have one station that's currently in the process of doing program evaluation. Anybody that thinks that professional, non-commercial, or commercial stations do not do program evaluation is mistaken. So what this is simply saying is that one of the things that local stations should be doing with their resources is taking shows that are capable of reaching larger audiences and producing those shows so that they reach those larger audiences. And all of the radio professionals that are going to tell us that we're volunteers and we don't understand about professional radio, understand that one of the things that you can do with good shows that don't have any production is add production values to them to reach more people. So we're simply saying that this is something that the local station should be doing to their existing program lineup. Is there any discussion of that?
Lisa? I would like to get on the stat.
Lisa and Kathy, okay. Yeah, I heard. Okay, Lisa?
I want to say that I'm not comfortable at all with these two items in here, considering the fact that so many stations right now are are cutting back. I mean, there's, I know with WBAI, with some of the issues are, you know, with, you know, not making budget, these are real very serious issues, and to add on top of that to tell somebody, now you must do this with the budget. I just think at this point in time that something like these two items in here is not helpful. I would say, and we might not necessarily, you know, maybe agree with how they do it, this almost kind of presupposes to me that station managers are not, that this is not what they're, I would think that they're trying to do this anyway. Like I said, we might not like how they're going about it, but I think to have that in here right now with the budget and say, well, you have to allocate budget to this and this and that, when there's such a strain on some of that, I just don't think that's good to have in there right now.
Okay, Kathy?
I feel similar to what Lisa was saying, but I think that it's absolutely necessary. But I would suggest that rather than say they must allocate, that they must determine what the budgetary and staffing resources would be, what they would need. And then maybe by determining what those needs are, we can direct that to some of the development people and endeavor to begin to raise funds based on those needs. But I think first, if we could at least identify first step in establishing the money to do it.
Rob, I'd like to go on the staff.
Sherna?
Lisa, I understand what you're saying, but this doesn't imply new money, and it ties in to some extent to what Kathy is saying of determining what's needed. But I think the issue is really assessing who is doing what. Are they providing the support for the programmers? I mean, I will tell you, speaking as a volunteer programmer, and the discussions that we have had, the feeling that the way some of the paid staff are used at KPFK is not adequate in terms of their support of volunteer programming, and asking that that be looked at. So it's not necessarily a matter of more money, but rather, and I think this is where Kathy's point about determining what's needed might come in, figuring out, A, what's needed, and, B, how can we better achieve that with the existing resources?
Right. Then I would recommend that it needs to say to assess or whatever like that, because with what's going on with the budget, and I think it needs to say that then.
Okay.
All right. Can I work with you, Lisa and Kathy,
Rob,
in developing language? Yeah, did someone else want to be on the stack?
Yes, please.
Yes. This is Ian. Who is that, Ian or George?
This is Ian.
Okay, Ian, yes. What did you have to say?
Yes, I just wanted to say that, you know, I know here at KPFK we've got a new manager, and, you know, last time I heard him say anything, it was to the effect of, you know, hey, I'm willing to, you know, listen to people as far as what they think, you know, we need to do, and, you know, that what we're doing here is saying, you know, you've got to figure out the best way to allocate your budget to, you know, improve your audience. So this isn't saying, you know, you need more money or less money or how to spend it. This is just saying what plan can you make to, you know, improve your audience with what you're spending now? How can we use our resources more intelligently? Because I can tell you that there are some shows that, you know, have paid producers that require, you know, external production help, which is kind of ridiculous. And so, and then by comparison, there's all these volunteer programmers who, you know, go and deal with all this stuff on their own time. So it's, you know, it's just a question of how we're allocating things, and I think it would behoove all the stations to take a look at what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong.
Right. All this is an attempt to say is that if the stations would look at their programs and decide which programs they could provide more production support for, whether it has to do with engineering or scripting or booking guests, if they can find a way to put more existing resources into getting existing programming to reach larger audiences, then that's one of the first things that they can do to increase their listenership, increase their membership. But I would be happy to work with Lisa and Kathy in rewording this so that it doesn't sound like we're making some sort of diktat. But I think what we are trying to do is suggest that they prioritize putting resources into shows that have got the capacity to reach larger audiences.
haven't just go back, I think, then, because I don't think that this says what everybody has clarified. I'm not saying that it wasn't trying to say that, but then it needs to say that to assess that, and you know, but we can talk about the language later on.
I'll work with you and Kathy in the next 2 days to sort of work, to punch up that language. Okay, we're now on to number four that says, in particular, local stations must reallocate dollars and staff to bolster their capacity to produce quality news programming, documentaries, and specials. And we give some examples of the types of things we mean by specials. And we say bringing together news and information from all available sources is a tenet of the commission. It is not acceptable for Pacifica stations to fail to provide innovative news programming on a daily basis.
Information, Rob?
Pardon me?
Just a question.
Yes?
We have a local news program, we have a local news production for half an hour and some time in the morning. How many other stations actually have local news programs?
We do at KPFK.
We do certainly at KPFA.
BAI?
Yeah, BAI has, this is Kathy, BAI has a locally produced news program and has staff as well as volunteers. And the development person had raised money to provide them stringers, and that's just been renewed this year. So in a lot of these things, I think that the ideas have to be paired with a fundraising strategy to make it possible.
Our station really doesn't have any local news. We have a local news director who produces local headline news, and we have the Washington Bureau, of course, which many of you are familiar with, that produces national headlines for Pacifica that many of the stations don't carry. And what I'm concerned about is that as stations lose the capacity to produce original programming, as all of our shows become talking head shows between a host and a guest, we lose the capacity as a network and as stations to actually do news and investigative journalism and other types of programming that require production skills. And if we don't do something about that, pretty soon our local stations, in addition to losing audience, are going to be stripped of their capacity to produce programming other than simply putting somebody in a studio who talks to somebody else in an unscripted program environment. And I think that that's a critical concern that we should have, because all of our stations are increasingly becoming stations that air that type of programming.
Rob?
Does anyone not get that?
That air what kind of programming?
Talking heads.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? What kind of programming?
Talking heads programming, where what you have is somebody who has been given a show, and they have a show, and they get somebody on the phone or in the studio, and they talk to them, and that's it.
Rob?
Well, your name?
Yes.
Bonnie DeStack.
Bonnie and then Sherna. Bonnie, go ahead.
Sherna, go ahead.
I think one of the confusions here might be because what you're really focusing on is documentaries and specials, and that's a very different issue than news programming. So it might be that this has to be broken out into two really different recommendations.
No, they're all types of programming that require some preparation and production and scripting and planning that are not simply done off the cuff.
George Stack.
This is Kathy. Can I be on the stack?
Yeah. Sherna, did you have a chance to speak? And then George, and then Kathy?
My point was I thought that because people are focusing on the news programming, my instinct is that the issue of documentaries and specials is it's not getting the amount of play it needs, and that maybe
the issue of news programming should be separated out. That was the point I was trying to make. And let me ask, for the purposes of taking notes, I'm not familiar with everyone's voice yet. Who was it that asked, was it you, George, that asked if the other stations all had local news programs?
Yes, it was me.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Bonnie, did you have a chance to speak?
No, I hadn't yet.
Go ahead, please.
Look, I see where this came from, and I think would it be fair to say that part of this is your frustration because WPFW doesn't have a daily news show?
No, it's not simply that WPFW doesn't have a daily news show. I listen to stuff from all over the network throughout the week, and I increasingly hear shows that are simply improvised on air, you know, and I think that's one of the things that is not attracting listeners. It's not attracting new listeners, and it's causing us to lose our existing audience. It is that we have shows that are simply unprepared, people that have been on the air for a number of years, and it's not exciting listening. It's not compelling radio.
All right, but
you can hear it
motion,
at any station, Bonnie.
But with this motion, Rob, what you've got is a motion here is not connecting for me to what
okay.
you're talking about.
Okay.
I mean, the last sentence of this is, it is not acceptable for Pacifica stations to fail to produce innovative news programming on a daily basis throughout the week. It's just a little cumbersome to me. I don't know quite where radio drama came from here. you know, radio drama is
came from KPFA.
Really expensive and really difficult to produce. And I think sometimes, you know, you made a comment that you are adverse to talking head presentation. In my mind, it depends which head is talking. You know, sometimes I can be absolutely enthralled by someone who simply can come on the radio and talk because
right.
I like their persona and I'm really interested in what they have to say. And I am educated and delighted to find out their breadth of knowledge on things. I certainly agree with you that there are other people that, you know, are unable to do that same thing and captivate people. But I'm just not sure that a motion that is reallocating dollars, I guess I'm trying to say that it's hard to quantify and put some of what the magic or lack of magic is in a little box. And I don't think the problem is always that we haven't properly put the dollar signs in the right boxes on the Excel sheet.
It's absolutely not. That's not the only problem. But where you have stations that don't allocate money to production of programming and to the development of new programming, it's not going to happen. And because all of our stations have established the fact since 2004, our ability to continue to lose listeners, we have to do something, it seems to me, to arm ourselves with the resources to do better. And one of the ways to do better is to plan to do better and to put money in the areas where you intend to do better. But I think we had George on the line.
And Kathy.
My thought,
George and Kathy on the stack.
And Ian.
George, Kathy, and Ian.
Bonnie said a lot of what I was going to say. I mean, I do think, I mean, we have an award-winning news program here at KPFT, one of the local awards for being the best local news on the air. This seems to be saying somehow that this stuff doesn't exist anywhere, and yet it exists at four of the five stations. I don't know what the quality is, but people are doing that already. So it really seems to me that this is addressed to the other things that you're talking about, documentaries and specials and radio dramas and, Winter Soldier, for instance,
right.
Stuff like that, which I think it should be. That's what you mean, and that's what you should say it, but to be critical of the news programs to say that we're failing to provide innovative news programs on a daily basis when some of us think that the stations are in fact doing that, I think that's a mistake to put this forward as a motion in that form.
Okay, well, let's try to work on this so that it's something that we can all get behind. Can we go to number five? Ian, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What about Kathy?
Yeah, Kathy is.
Kathy, I apologize. Ian and Kathy, go ahead. Excuse me. Ian and then Kathy. Forgive me.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Ian, please.
I thought it was Kathy was first.
Oh, Kathy, you please go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to echo what was said about the news. I believe that the WBA news is really quite strong and innovative, but they suffer from lack of resources. Hence, the fundraising really helped them. And we also have quite a strong, in terms of radio drama, and we have strong public affairs programs. But where I find that really, what more than reallocating dollars, I feel that there needs to be some process of vetting people before they get on the air in terms of training them and making sure they have certain capabilities. And I found that that's where the station is getting into trouble, by putting people on the air that have not been trained as producers, and they don't really understand the performance level that's required for the talking heads, or whether it's live radio, or even the skills to pre-produce something. So to me, more than allocating dollars, I think there needs to be a standard for training and ability before being allowed to have a show.
Okay, Ian?
Yeah, I concur with that wholeheartedly. It's true. It's not just, you know, the format, whether you have, you know, sound bites and drops and things to put in to spice up an interview. It's, you know, the intellectual quality of who's doing the interview and the kind of questions they're asking, and whether they're using follow-up questions, you know, and clarifying things and challenging their guests, as opposed to, you know, doing like an infomercial with them instead of a newscast. And so, you know, I think we've got a lot of things to work with here. I do like the motion, you know, as it is, and I think a lot of what it is that right now, you know, we're paying people who, you know, maybe don't know how to train people, or, you know, don't best evaluations in some respects, because, you know, I hear people on the air that I go, why, you know, and this is just in my own signal area, I go, why is that person doing this interview? Why is that person on the air? Why are they talking to this guest? And why is it happening now? Oftentimes. So, you know, but on the other hand, some people can, you know, because they have enough background knowledge and, you know, are quick enough on their feet, can provide a perfectly fine interview in 20, 30 minutes or whatever without losing the audience just because of who they are and how they do it. So I just wanted to add that, you know, it seems to me like we should be evaluating the effectiveness of every dollar we spend, because, you know, they're all tight right now.
Rob?
Who's this?
It's Chernup. Before we move to five, I want to very strongly recommend, you know, I've been taking notes of people's comments,
mm-hmm.
And it's pretty clear that there's almost a consensus that the news programming be dropped from number four.
I did, well, maybe not me.
This is Kathy.
Yes, Kathy.
If we're not to drop any particular thing, dropping news, I mean, there may be stations that need news, but it might be, well, good for us to say where it's needed, to assess where it's needed. and in that case, that might be needed, but in other stations, it wouldn't be needed.
Oh, bless your heart, I would.
Okay, thanks. I take that. I understand that. I'd like to move to number five.
The network must have access to local station airwaves to air mission-driven and well-produced national programs capable of sustaining broadly based diverse audiences. Then there are several caveats here, which are simply points, as George made reference to, not to suggest language that we need to add into this, but to make people clear about what we are and are not suggesting. One is that such programming should arise from local programs and initiatives. The network may also access local station airwaves for the purpose of promoting Pacifica programming and to keep listeners informed and support membership in democratic elections. Number two, national programs, broadcast specials, and documentaries should be collaborations involving staff from all stations and affiliates where possible. We propose the network programming coordinator work with technical staff to develop a program planning calendar that will enable local staff to anticipate events, work collaboratively on the development of broadcasts, and shape their coverage accordingly. And finally, there is no implication that national programming predominate over local station programming, but the presence of national programming and network broadcasts, think Winter Soldier hearings, is necessary to give local stations the capacity to sustain larger, more diverse audiences and fulfill the Pacifica mission. Okay.
Bonnie to Stack.
Lisa on the stack.
Bonnie, Lisa, anyone else?
George.
George, thank you. Bonnie?
You know, even though I think the, what's it called, the programming collective, the programming, what's the group of general managers and PDs and Nathan?
Operations collective, I think.
Program council.
Even though they're dealing with lots and lots of varying problems these days, I do think some of what you're talking about, Rob, is actually being done, and I know that Nathan has done what I think is a good job of getting information always out about what programs are available for people to work at, and I just wanted to kind of give him a little pat on the shoulder and say that, you know, it's much appreciated. I really like being on the mailing list, and I think that people are taking advantage of the opportunities that he puts out there for folks.
Thanks.
Okay, I think Kathy was next and then George, or am I wrong? Kathy, are you next?
It wasn't Kathy, no. I actually think that looks pretty good.